I get the Vach, I get the Matzah Shavuos, Matzah Shabbos, I get the Zimmer. We had skipped ahead to cover the three blot related to Shavuos, Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, Pei Tes. We're going back now to Shabbos, Pei Beis, where we left off. On top, Pei Beis, Amud Aleph, on top, by the two dots. I just wanted to give a Yashar Koach to a few of you that on both Erev Yom Tov and some Anyan Tov himself came over to give off some chedushim on these three gemaras, these three black gemaras of Shavuos that we discussed. Some actually walked over on Shabbos today, social distance, of course, walked over and sent over some chedushim. Some came over, some sent messages before Shabbos, before Shavuos. It was very nice. As Baruch Hashem, I'm glad that Elam was into our little chalipin that we did of the blot. I think it was well worth it. It gets quite late. It's almost 10:30. We will try to keep this stuff quite short, finished by around 11. Okay, so the Gemara on Pei Aleph on Mabei, the bottom. The Gemara was discussing that the shards that we use to wipe oneself from the wash, the Gemara says using a shard is a bad idea because the shard can cut the person. Furthermore, the Gemara says the shards were often used in kishif. They were used in witchcraft. And the Gemara brings a story about the woman, the Matronusa, that wasn't able to take advantage of Rav Chisda, Rabbi Avuna, that were traveling on the boat because she said one of the things they didn't do, they don't use shards when they relieve themselves, and therefore she had no power of kishif. Vayter on this topic, Pei Beis, Amud Aleph on top, on the topic of both shards and the topic of washroom. Amar Rav Huna L'Rabbi Brei. Again, we're Pei Beis, Amud Aleph on top, three lines from the top of the page. Amar Rav Huna L'Rabbi Brei. My time of Lashkichas Kamei Rav Chisda. Why don't you come often in front of Rav Chisda to learn from him? His teachings are very sharp. He should chaperain. Amar Lei. So Rabba, the son, said to Rav Huna, his father, "My Azlagbe, why should I go to him? Zinagbe. I'll give you an example. Whenever I go to him, you know what he talks to me about? Maisvei Milad Alma. He talks to me about worldly matters, not Torah. Amar Lei. For example, he said to me, "Man da ayla beis akise. One who goes to the washroom, leleisav head, you should not sit down right away with force. Vlei latreich tefei, nor should he exert himself to push out the excrement from his body. Why? The high kakasha, the atlas shini yosef. The kakasha is the rectum, and it sits on three teeth. That's a little tight. It means the three muscles. There's muscles at the base of the rectum, and if he sits down quickly, or he goes with too much force, duma mishmata shini kakasha, is going to cause that these muscles, these teeth, will be dislodged, either dislodged, or they'll just be in general, they'll be damaged. Vasi de sakana, I'll come to sakana. What's the sakana if these muscles get dislodged? So the first bring two issues. One is that it can cause a blockage. It actually block the excrement from being able to come out of his body. It'll stuff up the hole of the orifice. Or the other is it can actually come out. It can actually, the rectum will come outside, will be exposed outside the body. It can lead to infection and other issues. Okay. Amar Lei. So that's why Rabbi says, I go to Rav Chisda. You tell him he teaches great Torah Shmaitzes. He's teaching me science. He's teaching me, you know, mundane things. Amar Lei. So Rav Huna said back to his son, Hu asik b'chai d'vriyasa v'at amar mid alma. He's talking about things that people that are very relevant for your life. These are very important matters. He's saying in Mila d'alma, Kol shkein zilgabe. Certainly you should go visit him. It's not a reason not to go visit him. On the contrary, that's all the more reason to go visit him. Okay, back to our topic of wiping with shards or not. What if a person had in front of him an option to use a stone or a pottery shard to cleanse oneself? So let's just quickly remind ourselves, what's the problem with the stone? A stone is muktzah. We spoke out, I'll cover our brias, chama, relax, they're muktzah, and said one can use the stone, but a stone is a problem with muktzah. The shard is from a kli, is pashtas, not muktzah. It has other usages, we'll see. It could be used to hold some liquid, it could be used to hold a coal, we'll see the next Mishnah. A shard can have other usages, but a shard can hurt the person, is dangerous, it's very sharp, and therefore it's dangerous. Therefore, says the Gemara, Rav Huna says, Mekanech b'tzorav v'mekanech b'cheres. We still relinquish, we relax the isra of muktzah and say, use the stone, as opposed to using the cheres. That's a funishita. Rav Chisda Amar, no, Mekanech b'cheres v'mekanech b'tzorav. On the contrary, he should use the cheres and not the tzorav. Why? Because Rav Huna held that as sharp as the stone, as sharp as the shard may be, stone also could be a little bit sharp. The difference is not consequential enough to say that you should use the stone, which is muktzah, over the cheres, which is not muktzah. Meisvei, a question on Rav Huna, a writer of Chizda, that indeed you should use the shard, not the stone. If you had in front of him again by the washroom, sorry, I mean, I think it goes without saying, I should have spoken out. We're talking about obviously on Shabbos. If he has in front of him on Shabbos, a tzura, a rock, v'cheres, or a shard, that's a choice to cleanse himself on Shabbos. He should use the cheres and not the tzura. This is a writer of Rav Huna. I'm sorry, writer of Chizda, a kash on Rav Huna. Tiyufta Rav Huna, it's kash on Rav Huna. Answer the Gemara Tigmar from Bar Papa Kamei Rav Chisda Alibi Rav Huna. So very interesting. The Talmud of Rav Chisda in front of Rav Chisda answered on behalf of Rav Huna, but Eignei Kalim, meaning Rav Huna said that use the stone and not the shard, because the shard is sharp and it can cut the person, whereas the stone is not so sharp, and therefore even though it's mukzah, we relinquish mukzah for the safety of not using a shard. But that's a regular shard, a broken piece of pottery. But the lip of a kli, Balagine Kalim, was apparently a very smooth piece. It was very smooth, it wasn't sharp at all, it was very smooth. People could put their hands on it, their mouth on it, and therefore since it was very smooth and not sharp, if someone wants to has that choice between that and a stone, even if Huna would agree over there, use that and not the stone, the stone's mukzah. That's not mukzah, and it's not particularly sharp. Therefore, use that. But in a case where the shard was sharp, then perhaps the price would agree to Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna's Amar that came later, but perhaps this price would agree that one should use the stone and not the shard, and therefore the price is not a clear raya against Rav Huna. Next scenario. If one has in front of him a stone and grass. A stone, he has a choice between wiping himself with a stone or grass. Rashi explains that there's two ways to understand this Gemara. We can either be talking about during the week, we'll explain both, or on Shabbos. And we still have the same dilemma, whether it's during the week or on Shabbos. I mean, we still have a dilemma, different dilemmas if it's during the week or on Shabbos, but we have a dilemma in both cases. He should wipe himself with a stone and not with the asavim. So let's go first during the week. If it's during the week, what would be the reason to use the stone? What would be the reason to use the grass? The reason to use the grass would be presumably the grass is softer and it's less damaging. The reason to use the stone is because the first will explain two svaras. Rashi brings number one, that a fresh grass sometimes has very sharp edges. So the sharp edges, surprisingly sharp, will cut the person unassuming. The sharp edges can cut him. Furthermore, sometimes grass can be, I don't want to say allergic, but it could have some properties that actually could cause a person irritation, it could cause a person inflammation. The grass can be dangerous to a person, a poisonous grass he may not be aware of. So therefore, there's a svar to say, again, nothing with Shabbos during the week, use the stone and don't use the grass. The flip side is, the grass obviously is softer than the stone, therefore they'd be smart to say, use the grass and not the stone. That's the second sheet. Use the grass, not the stone. That is all going during the week. If it's going on Shabbos, it's a whole different shayla. On Shabbos, we know the stone is muktzah. The stone is muktzah, and Rashi says the grass, the chayra, is not muktzah. The grass is not muktzah, but the grass is a separate issue. We're talking about grass that's attached to the ground. And grass attached to the ground, there's a concern you may come detach it. The person's planning to use the grass by maneuvering his body against the grass without detaching it, I should take it back. There's actually two studim whether grass is muktzah or not. Even the tzadik grass is muktzah, it's certainly like a very much klacheres with his body. We know we spoke earlier in the Masechta, if a person moves muktzah with his whole body, that's not such a problem. So either the stone is muktzah and the grass is muktzah, but because he's just moving the grass with his whole body, therefore it's not an issue of muktzah, or the stone is muktzah and the grass is not muktzah b'chlal. The grass is not muktzah b'chlal. That's another side. The grass is a muktzah. We have a famous idea that a person is not supposed to touch a branch of a tree. You're not supposed to touch anything, leaves that are attached on Shabbos. Why would the grass not be a problem of touching that which is mechumar on Shabbos? So Rashi explains that the gezeira of touching something that's attached on Shabbos is only something which is not very soft and flexible. If it's very soft and flexible and touching it will not cause it to break, the gezeira doesn't apply. That's Rashi's chilek. Another chilek the Miri brings is the gezeira is only on things that are above 3 tefachim. Above 3 tefachim, the skid, you're going to pull off a branch, you're going to pull something off, and therefore you can't even touch it. Below 3 tefachim, the gezeira never was about touching it. And therefore, on Shabbos, there's one sheet of saying that one person should use the grass over the stone because the stone is classic muktzah, regular problem, whereas the grass is not such a problem. The other sheet holds very simply, for obvious vera, that the grass should not be used, the stone should be used, because even though the stone's muktzah, there's always a deraisa, simply muktzah. Whereas grass, if you detach it, that's a malach of teilish deraisa, and therefore we're saying to use the stone, not the grass. That's again the machlekes both ways, whether it's during the week, whether it's on Shabbos, a machlekes whether to use the stone or whether to use the grass. Meis v'yas the Gemara. A shayla on the second sheet, one who wipes himself with something that the fire has shlita over, something which is flammable. What's halacha? It's an halacha. It's danger that is lower. The muscles we spoke about before, the lower muscles, the shinais, will fall out. So a person should not use anything flammable. Grass, the Gemara assumes, stone's not flammable. Grass is flammable. So the sheet that's saying they should use grass, is forget about during the week or Shabbos, it doesn't matter. He should not be using grass b'chlav because it's flammable. Says the Gemara, like Kasha, Habalachin, Habiyavation. It depends if it's moist grass, it's not flammable, and therefore it's okay. Dry grass, tak, which is flammable, is a problem. One should not be using dry grass, which is flammable, because it's dangerous. It could lead to a danger in the muscles, in the rectum, the shinayim of the rectum falling out, and that is dangerous. What is the obvious question? What on earth do we do? We spoke a couple days ago, before we skipped over these over the next Gemaras, we spoke about the fact that a lot of these shalos discussion about shards and rocks and stones and Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to worry about it because we have tissues and we have toilet paper. We have a whole different system as modern as that. But that's certainly flammable. Toilet paper, tissue is spitz flammable. Why on earth are we not concerned about this? What's going on over here? The Agamar is saying very clearly that one's not going to use it to extend the Mar's problem. How using grass? So Lamaisa, we do use it. What's the pshat? So There's three approaches in this overall question. The tour does not even bring this halacha down. The tour skips this halacha. Either he thought maybe it was an issue back in the day, maybe it was an issue that didn't apply, but the Torah totally skips it. Shulchan Aruch brings it, he quotes it, but the Rama writes that Lamaisa, our minhag is to do it anyway. The Shulchan Aruch brings it, and the Rama writes, but our minhag is to do it anyway. The Rama, in his Pirush on Tur, in Darchei Maisha, same Rama, he writes, the reason is because even though, not the reason, he said the reason why we're not particular is because even though it's clear there is no reason to actually say why it shouldn't be applicable to Bezman Hazeh, we should still have this concern about using something which is flammable, but Shemer Pesayim Hashem, we're all doing it, Shemer Pesayim Hashem, and we can keep doing it. So again, Tur leaves it out, the Shulchan Aruch brings it, and Rama says, L'maisa we're not makbid, the Rama on the Tur explains the reason why we do it and we're not makbid, and maybe why the Tur leaves it out, so obviously it's not a new thing. It's going on for hundreds of years already using paper, Shemer Pesayim Hashem, and therefore we're not concerned. That is, we'll call it the second Malach. And the first Malach is the Tur just leaves it out totally. Second Malach is Shemer Pesayim Hashem is an issue, but we do it anyway, and once we do it, we can rely, Shemer Pesayim Hashem. The third Malach brought by the Magen Avraham is that the whole issue is more of a Kishuv issue. It's an issue of Kishuv, it's an issue of witchcraft, and therefore a few things. First of all, the Magen Avraham says, we typically have washrooms already private, near our homes, they're private. The apparently it would seem like the person that was doing this witchcraft would have to get a hold of these discarded paper in order to do that witchcraft. And since we're leaving ourselves in private areas, not such a concern. Levush says Bechlal. Levush answers the Magen Avraham. Bechlal, witchcraft is typically an issue on things that are done in public, things done in private. Forget about getting a hold of the paper. The witchcraft doesn't really have such an effect on things that are done in private in general. And of course, the Aruch HaShulchan rings Bezman Hazeh. Witchcraft is not a big thing at all. Witchcraft is very, very. It's not something we're so concerned about. And therefore, for that combination, it's all related to the same idea that it's based on witchcraft, and witchcraft is not such a concern. Bezman Hazeh, private and privately in our washrooms, and therefore we no longer have to be concerned, and therefore we can continue to using the paper that we used till today, and that's not an issue, even though Gemara seems to say it is an issue. The issue is not relevant anymore today. Okay. Hanitzuch v'anis v'ainin, if a person needs to relieve himself and he does not, he holds it in. Rav Chisda, Ravina, Chadam Ruch, they both say it's bad. Chadam Ruch, Rosh, Shaltas B'ayin, one says he has bad breath. Chadam Ruch, Zuma, Shaltas B'ayin, he has like a bad smell of schwitzing. His body will schwitz. Tani, Kamandam Ruch, Zuma, Shaltas B'ayin. We have a Ryan, a Baisa, like the man number says, that he's going to have Ruch, Zuma, a Ruch of schwitz. Why? Hanitzuch, a person needs to relieve himself and he eats food. Without relieving himself first, he goes and eats food. It's similar to a fire, an oven, where instead of cleaning out the old ashes, you burn new stuff on top of the old ashes. What is that? And it's like the beginning of that smell of odor of schwitz, of zuma, of schwitz, and therefore it's a raya to the mandam. We know who says what, but the mandam says that eating, we just spoke about not relieving oneself when they need to. This bryce that adds in eating without relieving oneself, it seems to go with the opinion. The problem is a problem of schwitzing more than a problem of bad breath. Either way, not a good thing. What if one needs to go to the washroom? He knows he has stuff in his body, but he can't come out. He's constipated. Amar Rav Chisda, Yamed v'yeshiv. He should get up, stand up, sit down. It's a very fancy way of saying he should squat. He should do acts of squatting, and squatting can relieve the muscles, stimulate the muscles, and relieve the muscles down there, and it can cause him to be able to go to the washroom. He should move himself to the sides, meaning try to go to the washroom, get up, move to the side, try again. The freshmen say also a similar idea of kind of combining squatting with a little motion in order to stimulate and loosen up and be able to loosen the bowels to be able to relieve himself. Ravuna says he should actually take a stone and massage that area by the opening, and that should cause, hopefully that will cause the blockage to open up. Rabban Amri Yasich Daita, he should remove his das. If he's not focused on it, for sure he won't go to the washer. Meaning focusing on it, it puts his energy towards there, that would make it work. So it's funny, the Mara could have answered no. When he focuses on it, it causes a stress, and the stress is what's causing him to be blocked. And therefore, by not focusing on it, it relieves the stress, I'm able to go to the washroom. That's not what the Mara answers. The Mara says, the Rabban Taka meant exactly opposite. Yasir Daita doesn't mean he should be Mesir Das from the washroom. Rather, what does it mean? Remove from his mind all other matters. Focus strictly, very like opposite what the simple meaning was. Yasir Daita means be Masiach Das from everything else but this. Focus on this 100%, and then he'll have a better chance of being successful in relieving himself. Amar Rav Yirmiyah b'Diftin, I saw this Arab fellow to come, Yosef, come Yosef. He did the eights, the first eights we spoke about for Rav Chizkiah, which is get up, sit down, get up, sit down. I saw him do it. He poured out like a pot from his body. He had been clogged, and he was able to clear himself out like emptying a pot. Turn up on him. Hanichel Sudas Kev, one is going into a Sudas Kev. A Sudas Kev is a way of saying like a nice meal, like a fancy Suda, a proper Suda. And he doesn't want to get up in the middle of the Suda to relieve himself. First of all, the first will explain this. Two Nikudas. Number one, these Sudas typically take time. So they're not short sudas. And number two, Rashi says, it's a g'nai for him to get up in the middle of the suda. So it's a g'nai to get in the middle of the suda, and you have a double whammy, and not only is it a g'nai, it happens to be a long suda, so there's more of a chance he will have to. So what does he want to do? Essentially, he wants to make sure his body's clean before he goes to the suda. So what should he do? Yalech eser apamim shal arba amas. He should walk 10 times, short walks of 4 amas. And each time in between, try to relieve himself. Others say opposite. Amila arba pamim shalas eser. He should walk 4 times 10 amas and try to relieve himself in between each time. Vinifna, and then at the end, certainly he'll presumably be able to relieve himself. Vinichas special mekaymai, and a ghost in his place, I'll be able to sit there without worrying about having to get up to the washroom in the middle of the meal. Zakta the Mishnah.
I think the story of Rafuna and the rabbi's son is an introduction to this Gemara, so that you shouldn't ask why are we learning this.
Very good, Pasha, 100%. Very good, very glad, very glad. Cheres, Zakta the Mishnah, Cheres, a shard. We're back to the shirim, that's how we got to these topics, of what is considered chashav, that if one carries it, hamaitzi is chayev on Shabbos. So Cheres, earthenware, we're going to have a three-way machlekes. The first sheet is, the first shita, enough to put, when you have, let's say, boards, and you don't want the boards to warp, you don't want the wooden boards to warp, so you don't want them to be over each other with like bending, so you put these little pieces of cheres in between to make them be separated to support them. So the cheres of that size, enough to be a shard to stick in between the slats, that's enough to be chayav on Shabbos. That is Rabbi Huda Shita. Ramerimer. The lachtis pavs are lachtis typically we touch at this mesechta as we mechata as stoking the coals. It doesn't over here means a little different. It means picking up a coal, big enough to lift up a coal. I mean, maybe the point to lift up a coal would be to stoke it, but it means literally to lift up a coal. It has to be a big enough piece of a shard of earthenware to pick up a coal. So that's bigger than Rivi Deshita. Enough of a shard, large enough to hold a Revius, which seemingly would be the biggest Shita. That's seemingly the Mar is going to discuss based on the next part of the Mishnah. It's not so simple, but seemingly, at first glance, enough to hold a Revius would be bigger than enough to hold a small coal, which is bigger than Rabbi Huda Shita. And this Fasemis points out, Taka, Rabbi Huda Shita is a small Shita, which fits very well for what we had throughout this parak. Rabbi Huda typically quotes the smallest Shita when it comes to carrying. And we ask, just because one place he said the small Shita, does he have to have the small Shita across the board in all places? And we answer that no, it's not Pshat that Rabbi Huda always has to have the small Shita by everything, and because he gives Chashivas to what's smaller always. We said it was a much tiefer vart. Rabbi Huda gives Chashivas to even something which is less Shriach. Once there's a usage, even if the usage is less shriach, as long as it's semi shriach, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it doesn't have to be shriach or shriach. Even if it's that which is much more shriach is much more shriach, and that which is less shriach is much less shriach. If it's epishriach, Rabbi Yehuda gave that chashivas, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda will often, because of that svara, Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Shem explained why the Gemara kept asking, how come Rabbi Yehuda is bigger than the Shita is bigger than the Rabbanan, his shriach should be smaller. The reason why we assume he's consistently smaller, because if he holds that which is less shriach has status, so it's mistaver that he'll always find things that are less shriach to have a status, and therefore it fits very well with this Fasemis, with our mission over here, where we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is a small Shita. The Gemara is only discussed whether a Meir and a Rabbi Yesi, whether picking up the coal or picking up the water is bigger or smaller, which one's bigger or smaller. The Gemara doesn't even address Rabbi Yehuda, and the Sfasemis points out that Rabbi Yehuda is presumably smaller than both of them, which fits very well with what we just broke out from earlier in the parak. Okay, so let's finish the Vayter. Amar Meir. Meir is one that says the size of a shard is enough to carry a Revius. Amar Meir, even though there's no riot to what I'm saying, there's a zecher for it. There's a zecher. Zecher is a fancy way of saying an asmachta. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's talking about the future, Mitzvah Shem, where Klai Yisrael will be clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to get rid of any avodah zarah that they may have. They'll get rid of them. They're going to destroy them. And the pasuk says, there won't be found amongst the pieces even a shard that's big enough to pick up a fire from Miyakut, right? From the pile of fire. You won't be able to pick up even a coal with the shards. He's very clear. The status of a shard is that which could be used to pick up a coal. That's Rameir's raya from the pasuk in Yeshaya. Again, it's a smachta. It's a raya. It's not black. My raya. It's a smachta. It's a zecher. Amar Rabbi Yisrael says, "Ha, Misham raya, being a raya to you for that pasuk. Go to the end of the pasuk. V'lachshiv mayim megava. The next words are, or to scoop up water from the hole. That same pasuk speaks about using the shard to pick up a coal from the fire. Speaks about picking up water from a hole with the same shard. So we see, on the contrary, we see the pasuk is bringing my share, not your share. Says the Gemara. Skip the parentheses. Says the Gemara, Mistavra, Sorry, says the Gemara. Yeah, Mestaber Shira Rabbi Yosi, Mestaber Shira Rabbi Yosi Nafish, Umikra Shira Rabbi Meir Nafish. The Gemara says from Svara, what we point out when we read it, the shear of a ravias of water, which is not huge, but it's according to the smallest sheet, it's about 2.5 ounces, but according to the biggest sheet, it's as much as 5 ounces. Either way, presumably the shard that's enough to has to hold, has to contain it. To contain that amount of liquid is a shard that's bigger than the shear of a mare, which was to pick up the coal. So based on the actual descriptions, it's mistav that basis is bigger. However, if you go based on the pasuk, mikra shear der mare nafish. But if you go based on the pasuk, the shear of a mare is bigger. Why? Because if the pasuk's describing that you won't be able to find from the smashed pieces a shard big enough to hold a coal or big enough to hold water, typically you go to even the smaller shear. You won't be able to find a shard yay big, this big, or even this big, which is even smaller. So the way the pasuk sets it up, Rabbi Yosi Shita seems to be smaller, whereas the actual description, Rabbi Yosi Shita seems to be bigger. Says the Gemara, Tisa Chedaitach, Shira Rabbi Yosi Nafish, if the Shira Rabbi Yosi is taka bigger, the Shira pick up what is big, like we assume in reality, based on the Taich, Lait Labamana Dzutra, Had Lait Labamana Rabba, it's going to curse the Avodah Zarah, that you won't find even the smaller utensil, and then you have to find even a bigger utensil. It doesn't make sense, out of order. Abaye explains, not so fast. It depends how big the coal is. A tiny coal is taka smaller than Ervias, but a larger coal is bigger than Ervias. Masisanami Lachtes Esh Mikida Gedaila. We're talking about actually from more of like a bonfire. You're talking about picking up bigger chunks of coal, bigger chunks of wood from a bonfire over there. So you have Rabbi Yehuda Shear, Korto was saying is, Rabbi Yehuda Shear, which we're not even discussing now, that's the smallest shear. That's enough to put it in the beginning of the slats. The middle shear is Rabbi Yasi, enough to pick up a Ervias of water. That's how big the shard is. And there are mayors of bigger shear because he's talking about a bigger type of coal, and you need a bigger shard to pick up the bigger coal to be chayav on Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi says for that pasuk Yiraya, go to the end of the pasuk. Shabbos come the Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi is good time to Meir. Why are you going to the beginning of the pasuk and taking the bigger shear of the coal? That's a bigger coal, which is a larger shear. Go to the end of the pasuk and take the shard for water, which is a smaller shear. What's your Meir going to respond? Says the Rabbi Meir. Meir will tell you. Let me buy kamar. The Navi was saying like this, Let me buy, midi the chashiv l'nshidle the shakachlei. Not only will you not find something that's chashiv, namely a shard that could pick up a coal, that's chashiv, and that a person will be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos because it's chashiv, and what's the size? Enough to pick up a coal. But you know what else they won't find? They won't even find a shard that's not chashiv. Elafila midi the chashiv l'nshidle the shakachlei. They won't even find, it's taka a smaller shard. They won't even find the smaller shard to pick up water. I'll tell me, the status of that shard, you should be chayav carrying on Shabbos. No. We're saying they won't even find, not only will they not find a significant shard, they won't even find an insignificant shard. The reason why the insignificant shard is, so according to our mayor, even though we give you a description that it's a shard that's could be enough to pick up water, which is even smaller, it's takan achashiv b'chlal. It's not achashiv. Once it's not achashiv, of course it's not chayav carrying on Shabbos. Again, the criteria is it has to be sizable and chashiv enough. That's even the point of the size is to be chashiv enough. So the pasuk was saying you won't find a shard chashiv enough and large enough to pick up a coal, and even an insignificant shard, which is so small that all it could do is pick up water, you won't even find that. But even if theoretically, if you have such a shard on Shabbos, that's called insignificant, and therefore one will not be chayav according to your mayor for carrying that on Shabbos. Hadron lechametz yayin. We finished the parak mazel tov. Start the new parak. Very short. This parak gets involved with tuma and tara. That's actually how we got to the shuas gemaras, because the parak's going to get into the discussion of shichva zera. How long the shichva zera can come out of the isha after tashmash? How long she's tummy for? And that's what we got, of course, to the machlekes, famous machlekes, based on the rabbanon. When was Shavuos on day 6 or day 7, based on how many days the man had separated from his wife, the man had separated from the woman, was it 2 days or 3 days? That's how that conversation connected to this parak of parak Tshi, the ninth parak. But it's going to involve Dine Tuma. We'll read the Mishnah, then we'll just speak out. We'll read the first words of the Mishnah. We'll speak out Tosfos exactly a little more about the connection. Amar Bakiva, Menayin Lavoy Dezorah Shebetam Masa. How do you know Avoy Dezorah Shebetam Masa? How are we jumping from our Sugis of Aitzah to Tumah to Avoy Dezorah? What's going on over here? Jump in Tosfos. He quotes Rashi first. Pirish Bekutras, top Tosfos. Denakat Lahacha. Why is it coming up over here? Mishnah Deboy Lemisni Menayin Shemrachtan Akatan. Later in this parak, we can get to the fact that after Katan is a bris, we wash the Katan. And washing the Katan is a discussion on Shabbos, and it's Shabbos related. And therefore, since it's in this parak, we quote it now. As an aside, there's going to be 6 or 7 Mishnayas, I forget the exact number, that discuss, I think it's 7. Menayin, 7 Menayins, Menayin, and as a memory tool, the first I'm bringing, remember, Mishnayas were originally not written down. It was Teresh Shabbat. And therefore, as a memory tool, they put together all the Menayins. 7 Mishnayas about Menayin were put together over here. So since we're going to discuss a Menayin related to Shabbos, namely about washing a katan, therefore we discuss Menayin about Avodah Zarah being Tameh, which is also a Menayin. We discuss here too, even though it's completely unrelated. That is the Mahalach that Rashi is understanding why we quote it over here. Taisvis, Tosfos says a little different. It says Tosfos, they nira demkein bahu davelei lehaskel. First of all, if you're bringing seven menayins, and one of them is about a katan, legabe Shabbos, about washing him after the bris, bring that one first. Bring that menayin first, legabe Shabbos, and then quote the other menayins that aren't relevant to Shabbos. But why quote that one last, or later? Says, Taisus further v'oid, halvei the misli b'perek relez of the mila. We know there's going to be a perek later in this Masechta about carrying the knife on Shabbos, legabe bris mila. It speaks about different din of bris mila in relation to Shabbos. So certainly, this halacha should be over there. Therefore, Taisus doesn't like Rashi's malach. El Nira, Taisus therefore says, agav the tana il b'seifa maitzi kroy dasmachta. We just left off in this last Mishnah, this last parak, we left off the psukim that were asmachtas for the shir of acheres. So therefore, we're going to jump right into this topic, which is kroy tana nakanami hain ani kroy dasmachta v'kroy dechazram. We're going to quote now the pasuk. We're going to see right now. I'm sorry, the tizrim. We're going to see right now. We're going to quote in the Mishnah psukim that are a source of this din of avodah zarah making someone tame is psukim also as asmachta. It's also not the raisa. It's an asmachta, and therefore, just like we ended off the asmachta the last parak, we have asmachta this parak, and then he agrees. We quote the seven menayins together, and ultimately we get back to the case which is related to Shabbos. But lav dafka from Taisus, it was just really the nekuda of putting together some asmachtas from Navi next to each other. That's how we got into it, and then we quote seven menayins once we're on the topic of menayins. Okay, so says the Mishnah. How do you know Avodah Zarah that one carries an Avodah Zarah? He's Tamei Tumas Masa, even though he's not directly touching it. He's carrying it. He's Tamei as if he's carrying a Nida. Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says Shenemar. The Pasuk says Tizrim. This is talking about in the future how we have to get rid of the, by the way, I think I may have misspoken before. This is the Pasuk Yeshaya talking about getting rid of Avodah Zarah in a later date. I think I quoted you before also at the Pasuk that the Mishnah quoted was from Yeshaya. The Pasuk earlier the Mishnah quoted was actually a Pasuk in, oh, it wasn't Yeshaya, sorry. It's in the same plot. On the contrary. That's exactly what that fits. That, I'm sorry, it fits even better. Taisa also from Yeshaya. Both are from Yeshaya. Both are discussing getting rid of Avodah Zarah, and that is the connection. On the contrary, it makes Taisa's connection even better. It is the same pesukim. So the pasuk says, "Tizreim k'may davat say termalai." Tizreim k'may davat. K'may davat is always the way to describe a need of Elisha, benidvas tamasa, right? Davas Elisha say termalai. Tell him to get out. We darshan. Manida mitamet masa, just like Nida is tumas masa. Af of a deserve mitamet masa. Rabbi Kiva holds of a deserve is tumas masa like Anida. The pasuk in Yeshaya compares to Anida, and therefore it's tumas masa like Anida. Again, it's only an asmachta. First, to point out, don't make a mistake and think this is a din deraisa that if a deserve can't go a deserve tummy. It's merely a din derabbanan. It's an asmachta. It's an asmachta. Remember, we spoke many times. It's rich, famous, rich about asmachtas. But the din, it's only. It's still only. It's, at the end of the day, it's only derabbanan. It's not a deraisa. It's a derabbanan. And asmachta that we should treat someone who cares about deserves tummy as if he carried a nida, and carrying a nida, of course, is tummy. Masa is going to be tummy. Sound awesome. Now, our mission doesn't bring a machlekes. It just brings a Kiva Shita straight. The Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah. It's really a Mishnah of Vaydazar Mem Zion, where this main sug is, and over there there's a clear machlaikas Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan, how vite the Tumah of Vaydazar is. Tanas, if you look at the Mishnah of Vaydazar, Taf Mem Zion, Mishnah, basically, Vaydazar, one whose house is connected to a building of Vaydazar. So again, basically, it's his house, and they have a sheared wall, and on the other side of the wall is a base of Vaydazar. So how did he build a house connected to a sheer wall of Vaydazar? Terrence says he didn't build it that way. He built a house, and next door they converted it afterwards into an Vaydazar. Now, Ki Machlokes had to learn what this exactly this case is. Rashi in Avodah Zarah seems to learn that the actual house is being worshipped. The house next door is being worshipped as Avodah Zarah, and our discussion is when the wall falls down, what's the status of the wall? What's the status about rebuilding it? How close can we build it? It's talking about where the wall itself is Avodah Zarah. Rashi by us does not seem to give it the mashmayas. Rashi calls it a base of Avodah Zarah. And the Ramban understands Rashi by us, as does Rambam himself in Hilchas Avos HaTumas, and as does some other Pnei Yeshua in Rashi, learns that no, we're talking over here that it's a house of Avodah Zarah, but not that the walls itself were Nevad, were itself worshipped. Okay, fundamental machlokes, Rashi here versus Rashi himself in Avodah Zarah and other Rishonim, whether we're talking about where the building itself is worshipped, or the building is a building where there was worship taking place inside of it. Okay. Mishai based on Avodah Zarah, enough on the base fell down, and the house fell down. Also, you can't rebuild it because you're benefiting Avodah Zarah. Case of Yasa, what should you do? He should go into his own rishus for Amos, go move into his own rishus for Amos, and then build. Now, what if the ground beneath the wall was both his and Avodah Zarah? Meaning, let's say the wall itself was a couple feet thick, 2 feet thick, and half of it was on his property, half of it was on the guy's on Avodah Zarah's property. So, need the mechza mechza. You basically split the land, and you can count whatever is part of his property can count as part of the four amas. He's supposed to go back four amas, but whatever is part of his property can count as part of that four amas. By the way, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that the guy is benefiting. It's very nice that you want to stay away from Avodah Zarah. All you're doing is building your wall four amas away. You're making four amas more space for them to expand Avodah Zarah. They still have the wall. It's all milos for the Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, and Chami, he should put like thistles and thorns and junk in that four amas on his property. He should build a wall and put junk there so the Avodah Zarah cannot benefit from that space. And he has a separation and he's not building a wall for Avodah Zarah at all. Okay. Here's the part that we need. Avanim eitz of afar v'tamim kasheretz. Says this Tanakhama of the Mishnah, this is the Rabbanon, the Avanav, the eitz of the afar v'tamim kasheretz. According to the Peshat, like Rashi and Avodah Zarah that we're talking about, where the walls itself was worshipped, it's very good, it's simple. According to Rashi, we asked that it was just the binyan of Avodah Zarah. We'll see later that the ancillary components of Avodah Zarah, the decorative pieces, the kelim used to serve Avodah Zarah, those don't have the same level of tumah as Avodah Zarah itself. Maybe the walls of the house of a base of Avodah Zarah, even though it's not worship itself, maybe that also, seemingly, that also would have the mochamer dekadim, because according to Rashi, we're not talking about Avodah Zarah, we're talking about the walls of the Avodah Zarah. And still, what are we saying? That the stones, the wood, the earth is metama like a sheretz, not like an isha. A sheretz has no tumas masa. A sheretz only has tumas mag of touching. There's no tumas of masa of carrying. What's the source that the Avodah Zarah is treated like tumas sheretz? Shneimer shakas shakzenu. Pasuk says shakas shakzenu about Avodah Zarah. It uses the lashon that we use legabe shratzim, and therefore we say again it's gzeira d'rabban l'chayra, but we derive from this asmachta that we treat Avodah Zarah like tumas sheretz. That is the Tanakam d'rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva Marzan asks what Rabbi Kiva does with their pasuk and what they do with Rabbi Kiva's pasuk. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, kenida, no, the tumah of this wall is like a nida. Ma, why? Shneimer like our Mishnah. Tizrin kumei dava. You should get rid of it, cast it aside like you would a nida. Ma, stay like you stay away from a nida. Ma nida matam masa, just like a nida. Tumah masa, af of a deserve tumah masa, so tumah of a deserve tumah masa, tumah of carrying. Now we're gonna have machlekes in the Amoraim about this machlekes Rabbi Kiva Darbanan. So again, we have machlekes Rabbi Kiva Darbanan on the face of it. Rabbi Kiva says of a deserve is matama like an isha, tumah nida has tumah masa, tumah chamer, and the Rabbanan saying no, it's a lighter tumah, tumah sheretz, not so chamer. However, we're gonna have a machlekes between Rabba and tomorrow's daf, or it's really maybe it's the end of today's daf. We're gonna have machlekes between Rabba. And between, I think Rabbi Lazar, what exactly is the machlokes? What exactly the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan? We're not going to finish it today. Obviously, we're not finished with the Rayas, but we'll finish this Amud very quickly. We'll finish at least the basis of the machlokes, the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar themselves. Amar Rabba. Tizraim de Amar Kura. The pasuk in Yeshaya compares Anida and says Tizraim to Avodah Zarah. Nakrinu minach kazar, it means treat like a czar, like a stranger. And the pasuk actually finishes the word say termalai, tell it to get out. He cannot stop termalai, don't tell it to come in. And therefore, Rav explains, he elaborates on this, that the pasuk is pretty clear, that which treating it like a nida, from Rabba, the masa kulam lepligi did matame. Rabba says, huge chiddush. The Rabbanan aren't arguing, Rabbi Kiva. Everyone agrees that by deserves tami tamas masa, that's not a machlaik, it's daiskush anida. We have the comparison to nida and the psukim in Yeshaya, no one's gonna argue on that. The Rabbanan gonna agree to that. So what's the machlaik is? Ki pligi be evan masama. The machlaik is be evan masama, this is a whole new din. Evan masama is halacha, we had it, I forgot most recently we had it, but it's a unique halacha. We know there's the idea of tumas midras. That if a nida, a zav, sit down on something and they put their weight on it, halach is, it gives off tumah, and it can be even 10 mattresses, the bottom mattress is tumah, as long as they're sitting on the top mattress, the bottom mattress is tumah, and we spoke out, it's avatumah even, it stays the same level of tumah, doesn't even go down madrega, that's all tumah's midras. This is almost like the opposite. Evan Masam is learned from the Pesukim by Daniel, where Daniel was thrown into the grave of Arayas, and they put a rock on top to block it from getting out. So we learn from there a tumah, an interesting type of tumah, that if there's a rock on top of something, it's supported by other items. And there's a cloth, a baguette, something which is fit for sitting, fit for medrash, underneath the rock, and a nida goes and sits on top of the rock, even though the nida is not putting full pressure on the beged, on the cloth, on the mattress beneath. The pressure is really on the stone. There's a special tumah called tumas evan masama. It's unique to nida. It's unique to nida, and that's going to be, Rabbi says, the whole machlokes is here. Everyone agrees, tumas masa, that the Avodah Zarah has tumas masa, just like Isha, just like Nida, and we don't learn that from Sheretz. Sheretz doesn't have masa, even though Rabbanan agree that Avodah Zarah has tumas masa like a nida. What's the machlokes? Evan Masama. The Mer explains, Ki pligi Evan Masama. Rabbi Kiva says, Nida. Rabbi Kiva says, we treat Avodah Zarah like Nida, and therefore, my Nida Matama Evan Masama has this unique tum of Evan Masama by Nida. Avodah Zarah Matama Evan Masama. Avodah Zarah also have this unique tum of Evan Masama, just like Nida. Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan will tell you, no, Kisheretz, we treat like a Sheretz. Ma Sheretz Lemetam Evan Mesama, Afa Vaydezura Lemetam Evan Mesama. Sheretz certainly does not have Evan Mesama, and just like Sheretz doesn't have Evan Mesama, so to Vaydezura, which is Kapir, Shakis to Shakazino, to Sheretz will not have Evan Mesama. So according to Rabbi Bechidish again, even though Rabbi Kiva is the only one that mentions anything about Nida, and the Rabbanan don't mention anything about Kiva both over here and over there in Vaydezura, and the Rabbanan don't mention anything about Nida by Vaydezura, they only mention Sheretz, the Rabbanan agree that there is a Tuma Masa by Vaydezura, like Nida, Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Kiva, the Homachik is that Tumas Evan Mesama, this special Evan Mesama Tuma, Rabbi Kiva says, yes, by Avodah Zarah, there is Evan Mesama Tuma, just like by Nida, and the Rabbanan say, no. In fact, the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, the Mayachsa Ishkaz Sheretz. Very good, according to Rabbanan, now, according to Rabbi, it's beautiful. It's compared to Nida to give you a din of Tumas Masa, but it's compared to Sheretz to say, no din Evan Mesama, no Tum Evan Mesama. According to Rabbi Kiva, what's the point of the pasuk of Shakas and Shakzenu? What do you do with that comparison? Answers the Gemara, Lemishamshe. We pointed this out before. That the Avodah Zarah itself is taka, a high level of Tumah, has Tumas Evan Mesama, has Tumas Masa, but the ancillary things, the decorations for the Avodah Zarah, the Kalim used to serve the Avodah Zarah, they also have Tumah. What type of Tumah? Tumah Sheretz. Tumah of touching those items, but not Tumah of lifting those items, nor Tumah of Evan Mesama. They only have Tumah of Maga, and that's learned out from the Sheretz. Those are compared to Sheretz, not the Avodah Zarah itself. The ancillary parts of Avodah Zarah are compared to Sheretz, according to Rabbi Kiva. Okay. And according to Rabbanan, why are we comparing Nida to Avodah Zarah? So we have a simple answer. Lamasa, according to Rabbi, it's very good. The Rabbanan agree this Tumas Masa by Avodah Zarah, like an Isha, like an Nida, and therefore it makes sense. The Mara, funny, the Mara even asked it. The Mara says, Lamasa. The Mara is setting up for another question. Lamasa, the Mara, you need to compare to Nida for the Din of Tumas Masa. Ask the Gemara, Bam Kasha. If according to Rabbanan, according to Rabbi, the whole comparison of the Din of Avodah Zarah, the Tumas Avodah Zarah, to Nida was only to get out of there the Tumas Masa, but you're not going to take out of there the Tumas Evan Masama, high level of Tume, so why go to Nida and have to make a chilik and have to go to Sheretz to qualify and say no Tumas Evan Masama? There's a case of Tumah which has Tumas Masa and doesn't have Tumas Evan Masama. What's that case? Nevela. Halacha is an animal carcass. Is that animal carcass? It's Tumah obviously Tumas Maga. It's also Tumah Tumas Masa lifting it. It is not Tumah Tumas Evan Masama. Why make a comparison to Nida and then have to qualify it with Sheretz? Make the comparison directly to Nevela, says the Gemara.
You don't have Mishkav if you compare it to Nevela.
We haven't spoken out the Tumas Mishkav by Avodah Zarah either. We haven't spoken it out. It's a good point. But we haven't spoken it out.
If they're talking to Sama, then it means Mishkav is included, I would assume.
Maybe. I hear. It's a good point. We haven't said it yet. I don't want to say with certainty that you're correct. The question itself is good. It's a good aura, but it needs a little further. You have to look into it to see if it's true. Okay. V'lukshachman on the Nevela. Fact Gemara, why don't we compare it to Nevela? And from there, you'll be able to see, yes, Masa, and no, Evan Masama. And a Chanami Mor says, you're right. Ella, ma nida, ein levarim, af, avodah zarah, ein levarim. The reason why I compare it to Nida is a different din. The Nida, Allah is a Nida, Chalila, if she loses a limb, the limbs do not have Tumas Nida. The limbs, by the way, will have Tumas Mace. The limbs will have Tumas Mace. The halacha is any person's limbs have Tumas Mace. Nothing to do with Nida. Limbs have Tumas Mace. But which also have Tumas Ayel. Chamit HaKetumas. But you know what it doesn't have? You know what limbs don't have? Limbs do not have Tumas Mesama. Limbs have Tumas Mace, Tumas Ayel, but they don't have Tumas Evan Mesama. They don't have the Tumas of the Rock. So therefore, we're comparing, the reason we compare it to Isha, to Nida, is we want to say, just like a Nida, when the limbs come off, the regular, the standard, the Tumas that it had till now, don't apply, make a new Tumas, but doesn't have Tumas Evan Mesama, so to Avodah Zarah ain't Levarim. The limbs of Avodah Zarah, when they're disassembled, the limbs are limited. Also in the Tumas, they'll have Tumas, and therefore, they would rather compare it to Nisha and Nida, and then bring Sheretz to take away Evan Mesama Bechlal, Kor Tabanan, than to compare it to Nevela in the first place. In fact, Gemara, one second. If you tell me that you teach me a Chiddush that there's no din of Tumah of the Evarim by Avodah Zarah, it's a Shaila was asked by a Namaira, El Hadda by Ramacham Begorya. Avodah Zarah Yesh Levarim, do they Evarim, do the limbs that come off of Avodah Zarah, do they carry Tumah like the Avodah Zarah itself or not? He left that as a Shaila. Tifshlei Madler Rabbanan Levarim, being arrived from these Rabbanan, clearly the Rabbanan will goof the same, the comparison to Nida is to teach you that does not have a din Tumah, like Nida's Evarim doesn't have a din Tumah, the class din of Tumah's Nida, so too, these Avodah Zarah doesn't have Tumah, so you have the answer to your Shaila according to Rabbanan. Gemara says you're right. Rav Chaim Bar Gurya, Aliba Rabbi Akiva Baile. Rav Chaim Bar Gurya's question was not according to Rabbanan, his question was specifically according to Rabbi Akiva. All that is the first Malach, it's Rabbah's Malach in the Mechleik. We'll just see Rabbi Elazar's mahalach, and then we'll stop. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar, zifra mahalach, and the mechleikus of the Rabbanan and Rekiva. Rabbi Elazar Amar, be'evan mesama dukli amma, be'evan mesama, again, this halacha, this fancy halacha of the stone that has someone, that's this tumma on top of the stone, and the stone is resting over something, and it's going to give off tumma to the item that's beneath it. Not a measure of tumma, the weight's not necessarily on it, but a sukkah of tumma. He wants to say, take that out of your equation, take this complicated new idea out of our discussion. Everyone agrees that Avodah Zarah will not have Tumas Mesama. The Rabbanan, of course, never held so. And even Rabbi Kiva, you were trying to say Rabbi Kiva is Tumas Mesama? No. Everyone agrees no Tumas Mesama. What's the Machlaikis? The simple way of learning, the way we learned when we started. The Machlaikis is where there's even Tumas Masa. Nida has Tumas Masa. Sheris doesn't have Tumas Masa. According to the Rabbanan Mahalach, it reads very easy. The Machlaikis, Rabbanan, and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbanan compared to Sheretz, no Tumas Masa. Rabbi Kiva compared to Nida, yes Tumas Masa. Keep leaking Masa, the Machlaikis Masa, we keep us over Kanida, and therefore Manida to Matamit Masa, Afavazar Matamit Masa, Avazar is to Masa like Kanida, for Abundant Savory, Kisharis, no, we treat the Kisharis, Masharis, Limitam Masa, Afavazar Limitam Masa, the only Tibet has is Maga, it will not have Tumas Masa. Okay. Frankly, Marv Rabbi Kiva, the Mayachsa Iskishal Sharits. But according to this, Rabbi Kiva, why would he compare it to Sharits? According to Rabbi Kiva, how would he interpret the Gemara's, the Shakis Shakzenu, the Psukim's connection of Avazar to Sharits? Said the Gemara, same answer as before. Let me Shamshay to teach you that. Avodah itself takes Tumas Masa. However, the Mishamshim, that which is ancillary, that which services Avodah Zarah, the decorations or the kalim that one uses to serve Avodah Zarah, that only has a low level of Tumma, namely Tumas Sharetz, only low level of Tumma, Tumas Maga, not Tumas Masa. For Rabbanan Lamayach says Kishal Nida, and according to Rabbanan, we still have the question, why did the Psukim Yishaya compare Avodah Zarah to Nida? It's not going to have Tumas Masa at all, according to this. What on earth is the comparison? Says the Gemara, Malanida, Einivram, the same ultimate answer as before. Malanida, the Gemara only used this answer before to explain why we went to Nida as opposed to Nevela. Now the Gemara goes right to this answer because we don't have the question from before because we don't have the Shakataya because over here we're saying there's no Tumas Masa Bechlal. No Tumas Masa Bechlal, we're not going to Nevela either. So why are we comparing to Nida at all? Same answer. Mal Nida Ein Levarim. Just like Nida, there's no din of Tumas Nida to the Evarim that are no longer attached to the body. Again, there's Tumas Mace, but there's no din of Tumas Nida. Afa Vajazara, Ein Levarim, Soto Vajazara, there's no din of Tumah Legabe, it's parts that are detached. Frek Gemara, Tapa Pe Gimel, Men Aleph, Rebbe Kiva, according to Rebbe Kiva, Lamayach Seshkas Nida, Lamasa, Lukshin Levela. So now we're back to the question we had before. According to Rebbe Kiva, according to this Malach of Rebbe Lazar, the whole comparison to Nida is just for Tumas Masa, not for Ever Mesama, not for special Ever Mesama. So why go to Nida, which has Tumas Ever Mesama, go to Nevela, which has Tumas Masa, does not have Tumas Ever Mesama? That should be the perfect connection, Nevela, not Nida, says the Gemara. And Echanami, we could have gone to Nevela, you're right. Elaman Nida, Enele Varim. According to this version, Rabbi Kiva is agreeing to this, that just like Nida is no Tumma on detached Yavarim, Tumas Nida, so too, by Vajazar is no Tumma on the detached Yavarim. So now we're stuck with the question. According to this, both Rabbi Kiva and their Bunhold, there's no Tumma on detached Yavarim. What was the Amir of Chama Baguria's Kasha? Ella, Hadabai of Chama Baguria, Avajazar, Yeshla Varma, and Yavarim, his question whether it's a Tumas Yavarim on Avajazar or not, Lachor doesn't apply, Sayak Kor to Abana Sayak Kor to Kiva, Tishav, Na, Lay, Mahad, Bain Abana Bain Kiva, Ainam Yavarim. We're coming out. Now, both according to Abban and according to Rabbi Kiva, there's no Tumas Yavarim according to both Legabe Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, you're right. Rav Chama Bar Guria, Kirab Masila, Uboy Aliba Rabbi Kiva. You have to explain that Rav Chama Bar Guria's question was going in Shita's Rabbah according to Rabbi Kiva. It's the only Shita. We have basically four Shitas. We have Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan in Rabbah, and Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan in Rabbi Lazar. And three of the four Shitas, both Shitas in Rabbi Lazar, and the Rabbanan and Rabbah, there's no question that the Varim of an Avodah Zarah have no Tumma. The only question was, according to Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbah, perhaps the Varim of Avodah Zarah have Tumma or not. That's still left as a question. That was Rabbi Chamberger's question. We'll leave it over here. Tomorrow is going to bring, Emir Tashem, going to bring Rias back and forth in this Machlaikas Rabbah and Rabbi Lazar in the Machlaikas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. The Mer is going to bring Rias to that Machlaikas. The Mer continues. And we're going to be on the topic of Tumma for a couple of days now. Have a good Vach. Have a good Chaydish, Kishavana, and a good Zimmer.